Hello, good evening, and welcome to Was It Worth It? The show where I take a simple man through a journey of movie watching, the likes of which you have never seen. Well, you've seen, but he hasn't. As you know, I'm Ethan McKinley, your sometimes host, and I'm here to find out if the classic and beloved films we all cling to, or at least pretend to like when pontificating to appear cultured.
Oh, good word.
Or to appear cultured and pontificating at a party so we're not cast out by our chosen social group.
Hit me with that one again. Do that one more time for me.
Which one?
The pontificating.
I'll start from the top, hang on.
Because I enjoy that word, just keep saying it. I like it when you talk dirty to me, do we?
Oh, well, okay. Hello. I'm your sometimes host, Ethan McKinley, and I'm here to find out if the classic films and beloved titles that we seem to cling to, or at least pretend to like when pontificating, to appear cultured and look clever at the wine and cheese party so we're not cast out by our social group. I have put Toffer, who hasn't seen any movies, yes, really, and I put him in front of an alleged classic movie every week. As it's Halloween season, welcome. Tonight, Toffer watched the 1988 remake of The Blob. Yes, of course you've never heard of it. But here he is, the man, the legend of Master Debaters, Toffer. What did you think? Well, don't tell us yet. Welcome to your show.
Yeah, this is wrapping up Halloween season on the show.
Even though we've had 2 weeks off, we got busy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, things got in the way and we've had a bit of time off. But, you know, we're back and Ethan's bringing out words like pontificating. Oh, super word. You don't get that from an intro from me. So that's why I get Ethan to do these.
And marvelous. He doesn't get invited to those kind of parties. So what are we talking about?
because I just don't watch any of the films and I can't fucking pretend to talk to these knobheads. Oh, yes, I thought Blade Runner was marvellous.
Well, I certainly do. When I'm at an after-show party at the Old Vic and Kevin Spacey's there trying to bum teenagers, I am watching from the other corner him do that and then trying to fit in with my chosen social group, Theatre Lovey Tights from London, as I discuss French cinema and try and sound clever.
Well, American Beauty looks a little bit of a darker film now, doesn't it?
What, the ending when he rejects the gay man? Yes. Total science fiction. When he's on top of Mira Savino with her fucking puffy nipples.
And
he decides not to. From moral fortitude, no, because he's a bummer. Anyway. See, I told you I was good with an audience, Toffer.
Fuck you, now. That's what you get when you have Ethan on, so... You know, I ain't even going to edit that out. I'm going to leave that in.
All the stuff that gets left into this show, not a sponsor, and on my show is the stuff that's probably going to come back to haunt me, and then I'll be raked over the coals at some point in the near future for past crimes. But yeah.
Well, you know, say whatever you want, mate. As long as you say you're gay at the end, people will go, oh, okay, fair enough.
I had a photograph of a dick on my face when I was asleep once at a house party years ago.
Is that actually true?
Yes.
Lovely. How is your dad?
He's dead.
Yay!
Yay! Here's to the dead dads.
Dead dads and puffy nipples.
It's exactly. Our two recurring themes. But yeah, we are back. Sorry we had 2 weeks off, listeners. And we are back with a film which should be in the pantheon, I think. We'll get to what Toffer thinks of the great remakes, the 1988 Blob. It's got a great pedigree to it. It followed, of course, the remake of The Thing, which Toffer loved, and I think people still agree is a genuinely classic film. It's some like eye-popping special effects and shocking moments, directed by the legend auteur John Carpenter. And then followed that, not the same director, of course, David Cronenberg's The Fly from 1986, based on another 1950s goofy sci-fi property.
Which I also really loved.
Yeah, another great film, which ascended to like a new level of kind of... filmmaking technology technique. It just elevated the entire story and made literally another modern classic. And then come 1988, 2 years later, The Blob comes along, based off the 1958 film with Steve McQueen, which was people being chased around a Midwest American town by strawberry jam, basically. The remake, directed by Chuck Russell, who you all know and love from directing The Mask and Eraser and Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
I didn't know that The Mask was a remake.
Is it?
It is.
How?
From like a very fucking old black and white film.
No, The Mask is based off a comic book. It's Loki's mask, the Norse god of mischief, before Tom Hiddleston played him, of course. Where did you read that?
You know about the Jim Carrey film?
Yeah.
Googly.
Okay. I can't find it, but I'll have to look it up. Yeah, it says it was almost a horror film.
I can see that. It is quite dark. It's a very dark film at times. And there's a random condom joke that I did not get until I was 14. Sorry, wrong packet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one, The Blob, because I think it, for the most part, for me, I'll just say it right now, I think it comes third in the list of the great remakes. But compared to its source material, where it came from, I think they did the same kind of elevatory job, pretty much, that they did with The Thing and then The Fly. I think the special effects, for the most part, are above and beyond. They're pretty amazing for the time. I like the fact that we'll get to that they flip a lot of the archetypes that you'd think people die that you wouldn't expect to die. They kill kids in it, for crying out loud, and it's got this weird sense of ironic glee and seems to love and enjoy the chances that it's taken in just killing these people off and the way the story takes.
Yeah.
But it just seems to, like, no one I know has really heard of it, and it's never in anyone's horror top 10.
No, I've only ever heard of it because it's like every time somebody says, "Oh, The Blob," I go, "Ha ha ha ha!" Periods.
Yeah,
I've never really paid much attention to the actual film.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it. I mean, you were compelled when you saw The Fly to go and watch the 50s version, weren't you?
The Fly. Yeah,
with Vincent Price. I mean, I think I saw the original Blob, the Steve McQueen one, years ago. I've not been prompted. I don't think it's that good, and it's a silly, goofy 50s sci-fi idea. But
yeah.
By the same token, I've like only recently owned this on DVD, like a special edition version of the 1988 Blob. I think it's a great film, but it's kind of never in anyone's kind of top 10 of anything, and I'm not sure why, because I think it deserves some kind of praise,
I'd say just for the special effects, really.
Yeah, there's nothing to the story as it's such. I mean, the Fly 1986 plays out with this like very like tragic love story at the centre of it. There's many more layers
to that.
And
Jeff Goldblum.
And Goldblum's awesome. And the Thing speaks for itself. But like, yeah, this is very lightweight on story. But it does seem to have this like mischievous sense of glee.
This film doesn't seem to have the sort of cult following that...
No.
Did this do well at all when it first came out? Because The Thing fucking bombed, didn't it?
Yeah, no, it's The Thing bombed because it came out, I think, just before E.T.
That's right, yeah, same week, I think.
And E.T. kind of owned the summer, basically. I'm just going to Google it. What I've got on IMDb, it was a $19 million budget. And it grossed $8 million. Yeah, it grossed $8 million domestically. So okay. That's half its money back. But the thing was, back then, and even now, they don't ever update box office statistics. Usually, if you go to boxofficemojo.com, they give you now the international figures. And now when they judge films, whether they're a hit or not, say, for instance, Warcraft, I think, or even...
Oh, that just smashed it in China, didn't it?
It did. So that kind of, I don't think it's been enough to warrant making a franchise because it bombed in America. In America, whenever they see it bombing in America, they consider it a piece of shit and they just throw it out the window when it makes tons of money in Europe and China and stuff. So we don't have the stats really on The Blob. And I mean, you said this before we started the show. There's not really a lot to find out about it as such.
No.
There's a kind of talking heads interview with Chuck Russell in a kind of audience at like a Fear Fest years ago when he talks about it for 20 minutes really, but
is this the best forgotten remake?
I think so.
Yeah.
I really do. I 8 million budget it says, and it made 8.247 million gross. They got 9 million on IMDb, so there's no international figures there for The Blob 1988. I'm assuming it's a flop because it's been so forgotten, but it is a strange thing to forget, I think. I mean, up there, I think, with The Thing in terms of it just gives no fucks and just kills people left, right and centre, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. Is this one of those films that you saw back in like your heyday of seeing horror films, or did this one come later on?
No, I saw it when it came out. So I saw it when it came out on video I guess in 1989. I knew that I heard of it.
I was born that year. Yay!
Well, I was 14 or 13, so I was ravenously into film by that point. I'd seen The Fly, I'd seen those stuff. Home video was very much a thing, as we know from my history, renting the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, age 7. Yeah. Go back and listen. So yeah, I was balls deep into kind of film watching, and the thing was at the cinema. Obviously, I couldn't go and see it, and I was just. I used to read Fangoria magazine, if any of the listeners have heard that. So I was like ravenously into sci-fi and horror and stuff.
Yeah.
I knew this was coming. The coming attractions I thought were great. And I think even the concept of the blob itself, a bit like the thing, when you think about it itself or the monster, it gets inside your head, metaphorically speaking. And the thought of being attacked by this thing or eaten alive by this, essentially this giant organism that has no form. I mean, the tagline of the film is terror has no shape.
Okay.
Yeah, just the idea and the horrific death you see in this thing. It's, I mean, after The Thing, I think this is probably the worst way to go in terms of a horror movie, maybe.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because it's not an instant death, is it? I mean, if Alien catches hold of you, it'll punch a hole in your head with its tongue or...
rape you.
You know, yeah, or inject you with some sort of like venom with its stinger tail and turn you into an egg if you watch the director's cut of Alien. I don't know that being caught up in this thing, as we see in the film, people tend to die in different ways. You've got the lady that's crushed in the phone booth,
yeah.
The sheriff, which we'll get to shortly, that floats past her, who's clearly still alive, I think. Well, before we get to that, I mean, let's start with these stereotypes. I mean, in this, you've got people set up. You've got the girl next door, who butter wouldn't melt in her mouth, who gets asked out on a date by the jock, the handsome young guy you think's going to be the hero of the film.
Yeah. Well, even as it starts, like, I've got as it starts, like, the music's like fucking so daunting as it's showing all the town that looks abandoned. So you're like, oh, what the fuck is going on here? And then they're just all at a football match. Like, am I supposed to believe that the entire town we're at this football match?
Yeah, I bet it's... I don't know.
It's not full. Stadium ain't full. Bothered me that did, straight away. I know it's a small town, but that bothered me that did.
Well, it's a bit like the small town in Outbreak, when there's, I guess, another a viral outbreak of sorts and things, isn't there?
And his mate Paul looked about 40.
Is that the one that was trying to...
rapist.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, what's sexual misconduct is the word we use.
No. I'm throwing the word rapist around now. I'm bringing it back.
The nebulous, meaningless term that you can say that gets people in trouble and ruins their careers based on no evidence whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw it out.
Hashtag Jeremy Piven. So, yeah, the friend did look much older, didn't he?
Yeah, he was Bill Cosby-ing. Slipping a little something in the drinks, weren't he?
He looked about 40. Well, God, he was a rapist, right? How'd I forget that?
Yeah. Pudding pot!
I like pudding. Putting my dick where it don't belong. So, yeah, you've got, is it Paul? Yeah, he's the jock.
Yes.
you've got Johnny Kevin Dillon, who plays the ne'er-do-well, yeah, Brian Flagg, which is a reference, of course, to Randall Flagg. Yeah, you know, you've got your trivia down there. I know
he's
you do.
A rebel.
Oh, Rebel, no, his name is in homage to Randall Flagg, who's the kind of the devil archetype character from Stephen King's The Stand. Frank Darabont, of course, who wrote this with Chuck Russell.
Yeah, and his chums with old Chucky, ain't he?
Again, I come back to the pedigree of the film. You've got such great talent behind the camera. Chuck Russell, who did the best Elm Street film, I guess.
Great, number which three.
The Dream Warriors.
Yeah, that's a great film.
Frank Darabont, who was responsible for the first season, at least, for The Walking Dead before he got fired.
Shawshank Redemption,
The Green Mile, and The Mist, of course. So, like, the horror pedigree of these two guys, I think, is, like, you know, irrefutable and second to none. So, I mean, I don't know. It's just, I just like the way it flips the kind of the stereotype. Shawnee Smith, the girl next door, she turns out to be the hero of sorts. The guy you think is going to be a hero is killed within 5 minutes.
And the bloke who I thought would be the main bloke as well, he did.
Yeah, and that for me, I mean, even then, I still watch it now, and it's such a shocking and horrible death, I think.
His, in the PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't seen this before. As we do the show from a modern perspective, and you're the cynical modern viewer, when that happened, what did you think? I mean, well, first of all, it's when the blob goes into the vagrant's hand, isn't it? And then at the hospital.
He's
kind of.
Does he eat him?
Well, there's two ways that the blob kills you, it seems, which we're going to, well, I guess talk about now. Why not? His arm is cut, isn't it? He tries to cut his arm off with the axe, and then it kind of like goes up his hand, and like I think it gets in, because it wants blood, it goes inside him. So I think when they find him at the hospital and his body's completely destroyed, that's because he's been eaten from the inside out.
So it grows every time. I'm imagining if it eats, it grows.
Yeah, because as you notice, when it's at the start, it's kind of like a whitey pink colour.
Yeah.
And as the film goes on, it gets more pink and more, I guess, red, as it's kind of got so much biological material that it's continually kind of digesting and stuff. But yeah, the way it kind of goes into his hand, that freaked me out. And then when they pull the...
It looked good when it crawls like on his hand and crawls up him.
Yeah.
I do think that looked really good.
I think they're Thing-level special effects, but like that thing when Paul, the alleged hero, is like being killed, that still to this day freaks me out and messes me up.
Still bother you?
Yeah, does that not bother you?
It was all right, but I don't know. I think because this is one of the... This and Blade Runner. You've been on at me about these two films. But like since we started the Halloween season, you'd be like, what's the blob? What's the blob? Yeah, but I want to watch this. Yeah, but what's the blob? Yeah, but I'm going to watch The Exorcist. Nah, shut up, watch the blob. It's like, well, I want to watch this now. What's Blade Runner? Shut up.
Well, no, I came back to this because you've seen the first two of this, I think, in my head, loose trilogy, because they're the 50s remakes. And I was just interested in what you actually thought of it, because this is like the ugly cousin, the retarded cousin, if you will. Sorry, and it's not a bad word, but whatever. Look it up. It means slow, listeners. This is the retarded cousin of the kind of the Holy Trinity of 50s remakes, and they're so like loved and beloved, those two first two films. I was just interested in what you actually thought of this. So, yeah, I guess it didn't move you.
Well, out of the three, this, I would say this is the worst one.
Oh, it is absolutely the worst one. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's nothing to it.
No, because it's very basic and very...
It's a flimsy concept. It's just people being eaten by a blob.
It's very, not basic, empty.
Yeah.
There's not much context to it. It's like basic, well, this is what's happening. The only interesting thing, well, obviously it was an interesting film, but like it starts off with obviously, it sets up, you've got these main character archetypes and you go, okay, this is where it's going to go. And then it goes, nope, this is where it's going to go. And that, once it established that Johnny Drama was the one who was in the lead of the film, that's where it started falling apart for me.
He's
not an attractive man.
Oh no, he looks like a bunch of elbows or knees tied together. And he looks like he cuts his own hair.
He looks like Mega Drive graphics.
Yeah, he's an 8-bit Kevin Dillon, nothing like his very handsome chiseled brother Matt Dillon, who was like an icon of the 80s.
Like FIFA 96 graphics, that's with a quaff.
So you like your leading men handsome and archetypal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it should be applauded for that, though, because I think one of the best things about the film is it does kind of go, fuck you guys. We're just going to kill all the people that you've been kind of trained to kind of start to like and go, oh, this is the guy we're meant to follow. And he just gets melted. When his face melts off and he's being dragged backwards out the window. That was thing level of horror to me. Oh, my God.
I will say, though, it does appear to be way ahead of its time for like things like that. Like setting you up as this is, like, obviously this is where it's going to go. Then, whoop, no, it's not. It's going this way. Like there weren't many films, especially that time, that did that.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to applaud it for that. But, like, how the fuck did Kevin Dillon ever get a job?
I'm not sure which came first, the Matt Dillon or the Kevin Dillon, the chicken or the egg, but he had a career as a character actor throughout the 80s, I think.
Is it because he was that weird looking that they went, yeah, fuck it, go on? Because in Entourage, they spend like fucking eight... Entourage is one of my favourite TV shows. They spend like 8 seasons and a film just taking the piss out of him. So I can understand there why he's Johnny Drama. Johnny Drama's a fucking joke character, but he plays it so well.
I don't know. If we're basing his looks, I mean, he looks a bit to me like Kevin Bacon. They've got that kind of piggy nose look.
He does look a lot like Kevin Bacon, but he's not great. Like he's not like, you know what I mean. Like Walken's not the best looking man, but he's interesting. Like Jeff Goldblum, he's fucking fascinating to look at. He's a bit weird looking, but he can carry things. And I don't think Kevin Dillon was strong enough.
I don't think with Goldblum. I don't know. You mentioned those, but their thing is they have a quirky physicality or cadence with the way they talk.
Missed. I think it missed Quirk.
Yeah.
I think if we had a quirky...
I think also, interestingly, psychologically, you were forced to watch this, so I'd set you up for a fall anyway. Some of the films we've watched that you've loved, you've said, I'm going to do this week, so I've gone, oh, okay. So...
Maybe, yeah, maybe. Maybe I'm just rebelling because fuck you and fuck Blade.
No, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's if you're like interested in watching something, you kind of fancy the idea of it anyway. So kind of half the battle's perhaps won because all the things I think when I've done with you that you've liked that you've chosen, you tend to fall on the side of positivity. And when you've been asked to watch something, you've gone. Yeah. But I don't know. Was this film that bad for you?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't bad, but. It struggled to keep me like interested. Like I'd say, about an hour in, I was on my phone.
They killed the kids.
Yeah, but like
the guy that gets sucked into the sink.
That I have got that because that was one of my favourite bits because he's doing a fucking headstand in the sink and she walks in. The waitress woman walks in and just looks at him like he's done it before. She just walks in and she's like, "Oh, stop being so silly." Like she's not shocked until she sees him get sucked in, which looked dead good.
Oh, when the sports shoe comes off the foot and gets smashed into that tiny little plug hole.
That looked dead good, but yeah. Like, her reaction was just odd. I did like the random little characters in it, though, like fucking RoboCop. What's his face?
Yeah, and he was the asshole deputy that kind of pretty much made it to the end, and the nice guy sheriff fucking died horribly.
Yeah.
He floats past the phone booth when the also super nice waitress, who he asked out on a date, gets fucking crushed as well. It's like an Erica Eleniak people recognise that's being date raped in that car. The blob's actually inside her.
Is he?
Well, it is, isn't it? Because he puts his hand in her shirt.
Oh, shit, yeah. I do like his style, though. He's like, yeah, you must sleep wrong. Look at it.
Yeah, and then it comes pouring out of her eyes and her head crushes. And then it just explodes all over him from inside her. I don't know. Just the deaths are so shocking in this, and it's so gory.
He's the raper and gets killed, and she's the victim, and she gets killed. It does pull no punches. It kills everyone.
Yeah, I mean that's why I think
no, it's not prejudiced.
The blob sees no colour, only pink. What is the blob gay? Shut up.
You know what it looked like. You know, like your mate when the acid drips. And like it goes over his head and it like pulls his face back and it's fucking him up. Did you ever see that fucking, like it was like a Facebook fad where they used to fill up the condoms with water and just drop them on their heads?
Right, yeah.
That's what it looked like, so it made me laugh a bit.
Okay. Oh, and because his face is being like pulled up and his nose is like pigging.
Yeah, it looked like someone just dropped a fucking condom full of water on his bean.
Well, I can tell you one bit of trivia. They made the blob with silk sheets.
Okay.
So they'd pull silk sheets over him, cover the silk sheets in milkshake thickener that McDonald's would use.
Right.
Which is obviously pink, so it has this translucent quality. Then all they would do is just drag the wet, soaking wet silk sheets back kind of over his face. And the more thickener they put on, the more these sheets would absorb this kind of food additive, if you will. It would make it look even more see-through. So that's how they kind of got that that condom look. So that's one of the ways they did the blob.
You know, possibly the thing I didn't like the most about this film was Johnny Drama's character. He was this classic rebel who doesn't like authority figures. So much so, he actually says, "I don't like authority figures." Oh, fuck off, mate.
A cliche. But yeah, he's good in a crisis.
It's like, if it would have set itself up and, like, give you the wink, then maybe it would have worked a bit better for me. But it like, tried to be this, like, thing-type serious film, but then it still did the classic cliche shit, but it just didn't do it well enough. Like, the bit that fucked me off as well was when fucking Johnny Drama was spying on the scientists and they were, like, giving away the plot.
Yeah.
And he was just listening, and they were like, "Oh, shoot that kid. Don't let him get away with the answers.
That was the exact rendering of the dialogue as well, listeners. If you listen to it, they do go, "Hey, shoot that kid.
Pretty much. It is pretty much. But I've got a random note that I don't understand. Maybe you'll help me out, because I watched this film about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
I've got, I think having a stranger lick my face would mess me up more than seeing someone melt. Does somebody lick someone's face?
When does that happen?
I don't know. I've got a funny feeling. I see someone lick somebody's face.
You're thinking of Terminator 2.
Am I? No, I know that because that's horrible. That still bothers me today. Like when you see all the hairs on a face sticking up.
I was just more freaked out she had that hairier face. You should have just diddled her if they really wanted to make the audience hate him.
Well, she told the testosterone in her system. That's why she had the hairs.
He should have put his baton under her chin, even though she was tied down, and then got his other hand and cleaned the world's smallest window, if you know what I mean. Got his finger and, cleaned the world's smallest window. Chad McQueen, the son of Steve McQueen, was offered the part of Brian Flagg, but he turned it down for two reasons. He disliked the script, and he had a strict policy of never performing in any production based on or inspired by his father.
Is he doing things now?
Probably not.
I've never heard of him. To be fair, I've never watched a Steve McQueen film.
Chad McQueen throughout the early 90s did a load of straight-to-video kind of like team-up films with people like Billy Blanks and a lot of like kind of Z-list kind of action men. So, should have taken the role in The Blob. You might be an entourage now, Chad. But what do I know? I've got a defunct podcast and my life's a mess, so...
It did turn into a giant dick at the end as well.
It did, and was just twatting people with it.
Giant dick at the end, and it was just whacking people.
The motorcycles, Toffer, ridden by Kevin Dillon, are all Triumphs, a 500cc TR1000 Triumph Tiger. It is an homage to Steve McQueen, who owns several Triumph motorcycles and rode one also in The Great Escape, but not The Blob. Weird bit of trivia.
Did he ride a motorbike in The Blob? The original?
I can't remember. The funny thing is with the original Blob is Steve McQueen, I think it's his first film role. He's 29 in that film, but he looks like 50. Steve McQueen, let's just say, lived life to the fullest, and he looked like he could strike a match in his face even then. So having him play a teenager was just kind of ridiculous. But
yeah,
what do I know? It's the 1950s.
Was that Reverend a pedo, or...?
I don't know. He's obviously insane. And then, like, the biblical image, I think, in his mind of seeing this, like, this cleansing entity, the Blob, killing everyone, I think just tipped him over the edge. But he certainly looked like a pedo.
Yeah, he did.
Do they have a look, though? Yeah, I suppose they do.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Like that.
Gary Glitter.
Usually wearing a fucking dog collar.
He should have had a massive Gary Glitter wig on. and Savile's voice. Now then, Savile's voice.
Did that cross over to the Americans, Jimmy Savile?
No, he didn't. I mean, they've mentioned it a couple of times on Joe Rogan, but no, I mean, Americans have people like Mr. Rogers or like entertainers synonymous with kind of children, not to kind of besmirch Mr. Rogers, of course.
Is Mr. Rogers a pedo?
No, that's why I've added a caveat there. So
You don't actually know that to be a 100% fact now, do you?
No, you're absolutely right. But by the same token, not to play devil's advocate, but
don't assume, Nathan. He could be a pedo.
All the alleged allegations against everyone else in the media right now are merely allegations. Any problem is with allegations. Even if you're found innocent, those things can stick to you like glue and ruin your career anyway.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
There is.
Where there's a 14-year-old, there's a Kevin Spacey.
Absolutely. But I also think that when that does happen, a lot of people come out of the woodwork who are completely full of shit. And if that does turn out to be the case, those people should be punished to the full letter of the law.
Nice. Nice. Did anybody else pick up on how false that was? No? Just me?
So, I guess it's going to be the quicker show we've done. But
I do like that there were loads of cats in the film as well. What's that about?
I don't recall any cats.
Is that a director thing? Loads of cats?
No, there's no loads of cats in Eraser and not loads of cats in The Mask or Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Just cats everywhere, loads of cats. And what else have we got? Frog Brother, I liked him. The bloke from Lost Boys, he was the brother, the usher. I recognised him. Yeah, you know the Frog Brothers from...
Yeah.
Yeah, not the one that was Fiddle, the other one.
Fuck, you're right, he was in the fucking Blob. Jesus Christ.
He was the usher. He was the brother of the friend of the
Well
brother.
Done. What was he in?
Lost Boys was in the 90s, though, wasn't it?
No, 1987, a year before The Blob. How weird is that?
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Well done for spotting him. How the fuck did I not spot him?
Yeah. One for me. The girl, what was the girl's name?
The girl in it, Shawnee Smith, I used to really have a massive crush on her back in the day.
I thought she grew on me as the film went on. Like when I first saw her, I thought, nah, you're not enough, you know, to be my lead girl in this film. But she grew on me. She's rather adorable.
Yeah.
I liked her a lot. But she did seem to get over everything quite quickly. I know she had to get on with her life and stuff like that, but like she saw somebody melt and she was all right with it. I saw a cat get run over and I was affected for about 4 days.
Well, I think most people know her from one of the Saw movies. I think she's in Saw 5 and 6.
Is she?
Yeah. I think, is she the killer that takes over from Jigsaw in it? She starts
off
as the hero.
The Grebo bitch.
Sorry, she plays Amanda Young in Saw 2.
No!
And she plays Amanda Young in Saw 3. And then she comes back as Amanda in Saw 6.
Yeah, the druggie in...
And she's in The Grudge Part 3.
That just blew my mind because I love them films.
Yeah, and she's got a great main picture on IMDb. If anyone Google Shawnee Smith, Shawnee, S-H-A-W-N-E-E Smith, you can see her in all her glory. She was rather delightful in her performative years.
She still get it now?
I don't know, I've not seen her now.
Whether she'd want it or not, but, you know, I wouldn't force myself on her because it's, you know, I ain't like that.
Weirdly, though, have you never had a girl that's like, why haven't you forced yourself on me?
Yeah.
Some girls like to get choked, listeners. What do you want? Sue me. Come on.
Some 14-year-olds like to go to parties. Well...
Yeah, we should do a show on that. We should have recorded the show we did before we actually did a show. It would have been better than this shit.
We don't assume anything, though. Nobody, innocent until, you know, proven guilty.
Exactly. But that I think that's why we have good conversations, because we don't... I think we're quite objective about stuff.
Yeah, unless you're a pedo.
Unless you're a pedo.
Even if it's not true, nobody knows.
Nobody knows the trouble I see.
He does.
Well, this show took a fucking left turn, just like The Blob, so... If you've enjoyed the show, please like and subscribe. You can find me at Ethan McKinley.
Are you going to ask me if it was worth it, you dickhead?
I'm assuming it wasn't, but yeah. The Blob, 1988, directed by Chuck Russell, horror legend, and even bigger legend, writer Frank Darabont. Was The Blob, 1988, worth it? Toffee.
No.
Oh.
I've given it a 5 out of 10. I won't watch it again.
What was it for special effects?
Maybe it's a kind of half-decent background film where it can be on if I'm editing and it's on and I'll just look and I'll watch the phone. What was your favourite death? The phone booth?
First one, the jock, when he's just getting dragged backwards out of a window and he just incrementally melts back out of the window. That still shocks me.
You don't like that?
Say what you will about the film, that first death is thing level of shock and like, Jesus Christ. They not only killed him, they melted his face off in the most horrific and horrible way. In fact, listeners, if you type in Blob 1988 GIFs, most of the GIFs there are his melting face. Oh, God. Horrible. Horrible. Usually when we do this show, listeners, I play an MP4 version of the film on my laptop as I talk about it. I started The Blob and I stopped it 5 minutes in because I didn't want to look.
Oh, you adorable. Oh.
Oh, I am going to watch it. I just, it freaked me out. I'm sorry. But it's not even that good. You're right. It is third in that pantheon of like remakes by a wide margin. I mean, The Thing and The Fly, I think, can fight each other over which one is the better quality film, because The Fly, I think, is more... I guess maybe a better drama and there's more acting and more layers to it. But yeah,
it missed a quirky leading man.
It did.
It
Kurt
missed
Russell.
That for me. You know the best bit of the film?
The credits.
Yeah, the alien song at the end. Fucking Brave New Love, Cock Rock Man. Great song. Fucking great. So when that song came on, I was like, fucking yes, tune. I love me fucking European cock rock. Let's do that.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah, so, you know, if anything, it rediscovers my love of Alien. the Swedish rock band that have got, like, two songs that anybody knows.
Well, yeah. What a way to end the Blob 1988. Thank you for listening to this Halloween horror season. I personally think we should squeeze in one more Halloween to make it a fourth show to cover the 4 weeks of Halloween. I'm sure we're not going to start doing strange, horrific films. But remember, we have only got November to get through before we have to do a season of Christmas films that you haven't seen, Toffer. I'm assuming because you've got a kid.
I've seen a lot of Christmas films.
Right. You try and think of some Christmas films you haven't seen, like Christmas with the Cranks. Have you seen
that? Love it. Love it. One of my favourites.
Not even the film, like The Blob's got one pivotal scene. When Tim Allen gets the Botox, that's genius.
It's a fantastic film. He can't put anything in his mouth. Great film. Great scene.
Yeah. The ice cubes are falling out. That's that. You know, just clip that bit out of the film. Oscar.
It's a good film, right? Because Jamie Lee Curtis is dead fit. And even when she's like old lady fit.
Let's not go too far.
She's dead fit.
But yeah, like, they were trading places, and you know it.
They have sex like on a Friday. That's their thing. Their Friday sex. She walks in and she's ready for it, and he's looking for holidays, and she's like, "Yeah, but are you gonna bang me though?" And he's like, "Nope, looking for holidays."
All right, Santa Claus the movie.
Love it. Watched it the other day.
You've seen it.
Hit me with another one.
Die Hard.
Yes, love it. Is it a Christmas film?
It is a Christmas film.
Yeah, it is a Christmas film.
And so is the second one. A Christmas Story. I've not even seen that.
Christmas Story, which one's that one?
No idea. It's meant to be a classic, though. Home Alone.
Yes, obviously.
Fuck. Elf.
Yes.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes.
Love Actually.
Love. Oh, great film.
This is like the scene from Omen 2 when he's reeling off historical dates.
You will struggle to find a Christmas film I haven't
seen. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
I haven't seen that one. That's the one.
Scrooged.
Oh, I watched Scrooge the other day. Cried like a little bitch again.
Put National Lampoon's Vacation on the park, because I think that's the best Christmas movie ever.
God bless us, everyone. I fucking love Scrooged.
Even, yeah, Black Tiny
Tim. Should we just pretend I ain't seen it and we just do Scrooge? I fucking love that film. That's my job.
Oh, Bobcat. Polar Express.
I hate that film.
Okay.
Shit.
Yeah, that comes out on... They show that at cinemas still.
It's gash. It is very, very, very basic and terrible.
Gremlins? Have you done Gremlins?
I haven't seen it all the way through for a very, very long time. So we could probably get away with that one.
All right, Gremlins and National Lampoon's, right. The Holiday with Jude Law and Jack Black.
Oh, no, because I don't do Jude Law films.
All right, I agree. Moving on. Bad Santa.
Yeah, great film.
Okay. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Great film.
Jingle All the Way.
Great film.
Miracle on 34th Street, 1934 and 1948. Take your pick. Who gives a fuck?
I've seen the remake and I didn't like it.
Lethal Weapon.
Don't start me on Lethal Weapon.
There's loads of ones now that sound shit and I keep skipping ones I should be telling you because I don't want to watch them.
Like what?
Here we go. Christmas in Connecticut with
what the
fucking...
fucking hell's that?
Exactly, with Barbara Stanwyck. Fuck that. The Scrooge, 1950 version, one version of Scrooge with Alistair Sim.
Yeah, we can watch an original version.
That's considered the best Scrooge, apparently.
Okay, we'll add that one to the list then.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
The Val Kilmer film.
Yeah, with Robert Downey Jr.
I haven't seen it.
Put that on the pile. That's a Christmas film.
Yeah.
We could sneak in a horror, Black Christmas.
You know what's a good film? Krampus.
Krampus. The great new Krampus, film. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a really shit but good film.
Thing is, there was about 7 Krampuses that came out then. What's sorry, that? Listeners, we'll get to the end, don't worry.
Black Christmas is good. There's one I want to watch, right, because it looks gash, but the box has always intrigued me. It's like Jack Frost.
Oh, with Michael Keaton?
No, the killer Jack Frost.
The shitty one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, okay, I'll make a deal with you. If we watch films that are that bad... We should be in person and have mics to record it. Do you know what I mean?
Does that make sense? Sit down together?
Like a commentary that's like, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Or watch it and then, I don't know.
I'd have to watch it first.
Usually with films that bad,
yeah,
it's probably best to have a group dynamic and watch it live, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably get Sean to come and do it with us.
Yeah, like a 3-man commentary.
Yeah, I could get Sean into that. Sean would be up for that.
Okay. Because there's a film called Killjoy that I fucking love, which is fucking awful, right. Which I got from the pound shop.
I still want to watch The Room. We'll have to do that soon.
We need to do The Room. Trading Places, that's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a good film. I've seen that one. You won't find many Christmas films I haven't seen.
The ref with Dennis Leary.
The comedian?
Yes. No, and Kevin Spacey, actually, 1994. I'd say the ref.
Let's do a Kevin Spacey podcast, mate. People are fucking... He'd definitely get some minds on it, wouldn't he?
Okay. Well, we've got at least three Christmas films there neither of us have seen, actually. Okay.
We'll get away with it. Right. Follow the show at WasItWorthItPod on the Twitter. Ethan?
You can find me at Ethan McKinley UK. You can find my show Questionable, where it's very schizophrenic. I either interview people on serious issues, or I do these, like... comedy film deconstructions. If you go to Questionable EMC on YouTube, you will find that. My sister show, 2 Minute Terminator, which is about 300 strong episodes long and strong, is also on YouTube, where I discuss and break down the Terminator films 2 minutes at a time. You can find me there as well.
I do want to give a shout out to at B Meeky, Bobby Meek, because he's been badgering me to get a new episode out.
Yeah, sorry, Bobby. Me and Toffer missed each other like a week and a half ago because I had work. Oh, no, I forgot we had a show and you'd gone to the cinema anyway. So
I did. I went to watch Thor and I've been on holiday. So
yeah, we missed. We meant to record this on Sunday, so maybe we can knock one out before or over the weekend before I go to Canada to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger's stuntman, Peter Kent. Woo! But yeah, thank you all for listening, everyone. I've been Ethan McKinley. Again, Toffer, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
I look forward
to the next one. You know where you can find us. I hope you're enjoying the show. We will not let you down again and try and get one out every week as opposed to three a month.
I released the special. It's fine. It carried him over. I released an old episode of The Master Debaters. It was fine.
Okay. But I think a season of Christmas films and maybe some like so bad they're good, or are they just so bad they're shit, things like kind of Jack Frost, if you said The Room, Killjoy, Troll 2, stuff like that, because I promise you, and if anyone's never done this, if you ever watch a film, go to the dollar store or the pound shop and get a really bad film and watch it with friends. It's the best. It will beat any amazing Hollywood movie ever in terms of commentary and audience interaction, honestly.
There you go.
Either that or go on E-Fucked and watch like messed up clips with friends. That's another good one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Love you.